McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sidibe scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome along to Falkirk Daft. It is, of course, your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the Bairns. My God, that felt good at the weekend. At last. Hello there. I am John McInally, and this week, of course, we're looking back at that 3-1 victory. It was going on 7-1 more like it against Peterhead. We're going to look ahead to the game against FC Edinburgh this Saturday. And after Morrison and Williamson's displays at the weekend and us having a wee bit of a dig of them at them on here, we're going to ask what player proved you wrong. And I couldn't do any of that without the company of my good friend, the Ginger God of Pod himself. It is Ross Wayne.
Hey pal, how you doing? You okay?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. You know what? I got back. I think like you, Ross, you were like, I'm going to stay up to midnight and watch those highlights again just to see that. You know, the goals, Williamson's and Morrison's goals were particularly good. I mean, Morris, you look at that Morrison goal again, and we'll get into obviously the game and stuff, but what he did, you know, and we've got to hold our hands up here, right? You know, we made the restaurant analogy, all that sort of stuff. Big Calm was eating the steak on a Saturday there because everything he'd done right, and his work rate was incredible. But as I say, we'll get into that. Well, what, looking back on it, Ross, how are you feeling on a Monday as we record this?
Do you know what? It's obviously first league win of the season. Delighted with it. It was, in the greatest respects, obviously it was Peterhead. So yeah. I don't want to get too carried away.
Exactly.
However, we were looking for 3 points. We got 3 points. We were looking for a few goals. We got a few goals. We created a lot of chances. So hopefully this is a start.
Exactly. And we'll get into the game in more detail a bit later on. Right, a couple of things that we need to clear up, first of all. The Ginger 11, Ross. The Ginger 11 is complete. However, I fucked it up a wee bit. Right, okay. Right, I'd put it on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter, at Falkirk Daft. Right, so goals have got Higgins. Then we've got, at the back, Fulton, Bullen, Holden. I need to squeeze Fulton in because I didn't have another centre-half. Craig, yeah. Shepherd, Craig, Houston, Rice, McGivern, Lavery. There's a few names missing, isn't there?
There's a couple. I can think of Lavery being subbed for one anyway.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who flagged out that missed out Mo Johnson and Derek McWilliams. Sorry about that.
I can imagine Derek's probably a listener. I'm not sure about Mo Johnson though, but
Super Mo loves the Bairns like he loves every other team in Scotland. But the only team he's ever wanted to play for, mate.
That's it. Kiss the badge.
Yep. Right. So a couple of names we've missed out from this, and we're going to have to rejig the Ginger 11 now as a result of this. So Keith is coming up with left back, really. Graham Mitchell.
He wasn't a great fullback, but you're right, he was ginger. So
he was ginger. Yeah. Here's a couple of names for you. We've definitely missed out. John Stewart comes in from Robert. Mrs. John Stewart, does he replace Mo Johnson up front?
No, not in my lifetime. No. And I feel bad for saying that because I know our former kit man, who I get on still well with Jerry, I think that was a family member of his, and I think I may have called him Steptoe at some point.
Oh, really?
on Facebook, and I just remember John Stewart replying saying, "Steptoe, are you?"
John Stewart's going to bat at you.
It was raging. Yeah, it was
John
raging.
John Stewart's going to bat. That would be great. Yeah. Fight
it wouldn't happen though. Let's face it, it's John Stewart.
Yeah, ginger on ginger battle.
No, but he would fresh air kick and miss me. So
this is very true. Stuart, I love this player, and I can't believe I forgot about him. James Sharp, remember from the Oak of Youth?
Oh, Big Sharpie.
I loved Big Sharpie. I don't know why I had this real...
Yeah. Was he a fullback or was he a centre? I can't remember.
He could play both left back and centre half, but did he not hit a free kick as well? I have fond memories of James Sharp from back in the day.
I don't think he was great the Oakville View season, but I think he did far better the next again season. Remember the first year back in the new stadium. Sorry, yeah. I think he did pretty well that year.
Yeah, Vando says hello. I have a name to add to the Ginger 11. Was Connor Salmon ginger? I can remember him having a ginger beard. We don't know.
I think we need to ask Mrs. Salmon if he's
right, Mrs. Salmon, yeah. He's still kicking about Larbert, actually, Connor Salmon. I see him now and again.
Well, you need to chap his door.
Aye. He ginger, by the way. Imagine that, just chapping on the Connor Salmon. Hello, Connor, just wanted to ask something. Are you ginger? And then punch.
Probably Barry, yeah.
Rembozo the Clown says, I met an 87-year-old woman in the Cairn Works once who claims she knew that Crawford Baptie was ginger down south.
There you go. I'm not convinced that's true, but
we'll go with that. Finally, says Craig, says, hiya, fellas. Loving the podcast. Thank you, Craig. And enjoying having more insight into our club itself. Now, I don't know if you have mentioned him as part of the Ginger 11, but Liam Dick is heavy ginger. Just in case you haven't mentioned him, his name also suits him, as me and my pal met him in the food bar, and indeed he was a massive dick.
Oh, that's harsh. I thought Liam was all right.
Craig,
was he ginger? I'm not sure he was ginger either, to be honest, was he?
I didn't think Liam Dick was ginger, but listen, Craig knows better than us. He met him in the food bar.
Well, that's true. That's true.
There you go. So I think we can put to bed, we've got everyone now. I'm pretty sure we've rounded up every ginger that's ever played for Falkirk. Did I say Ken Eady? I didn't mention Ken Eady.
No, Ken Eady is a good shout.
Bill Black. Ken Eady is a good shout. Put down Ken Eady as well. So I think we've rounded up the gingers. We can put that one to bed, but there's another 11 I want to get into just in a bit. Right, okay. Last week we're asking for Bairns listening to this podcast abroad, and we've had a few in, Ross, stretching all the way, first of all, to Alan Barker, who says, hey guys, in response to your question, I'm listening to your show from the Gold Coast in Australia. Brilliant show, loving hearing the chat and the content. Keep it coming. There we go, we're in the Gold Coast. I think that's the furthest we can stretch.
I would need to check my geography, but we've also had a message from Greg Hayworth. Now, him and three other Bairns, four in total, they're out in Sydney, which is obviously New South Wales. I know we talked about South Wales last week. And Greg, his brother Gary, and we've got Jack and Ben Jameson, a.k.a. the Dudley Boys. So four Bairns out in New South Wales.
Love that. Dudley Boys listen to us in New South Wales. Fantastic. Mr. Dust, guessing I'm the Portugal one, enjoying the podcast, and this week I watched it. Keep up the good work, boys. Been a great listen and even watching it as well. So Mr. Dust is in our Portugal listener. So we looked at the map and we've got Portugal. And then James says, hi, just watched your third podcast. They keep getting better. Great source of information. And I'm in Maine in the USA. So there we go.
Yeah, decent.
So thanks very much for James. If you are a Bairn abroad, please get in touch. Let us know where you're listening to this show. We'll give you a mention on the show next week. It'd be great to hear from you. Would you like a Falkirk fact, Mr. Ross Wayne?
Always, John. Always.
This I came across. Now, one thing we are short of at Falkirk, I think, is celebrity fans. I mean,
well, we've only got you, so...
Oh, yeah, thanks. It's very kind of you. But no, I don't classify it as that at all. But the one person that probably is, and as I've seen it pointed out, is young Sheldon, whose granny, I believe, lives in Falkirk, yeah. And there's been a picture of young Sheldon. Aside from that, though, we're really... because obviously there's not a lot of bands come from Falkirk. I believe Arab Strap, who are the only probably big-name band that have come from Falkirk, unless you go with the Cocteau Twins as well. But I don't think they came from Grange.
Well, wait there now. We've got... Lieutenant Stardust.
Lieutenant Stardust.
Bladdard. Listen, there's a few good Falkirk bands. I'm only joking. I know, carry on.
Yeah, but there's not been that many celebrities have come from Falkirk, which is quite disappointing.
So
I came across this, and I think it was posted on the COYB Facebook page, that Because they classified, I don't know if you know this, Ross, but the classified football results has now ended after however many years.
No, I didn't know that.
No, so you don't get the Falkirk 3, Peterhead 1. Such, you don't get that anymore. That's the thing of the past. Is gutty because obviously
they
have the score on their phone or whatever now. So that the classified results have come to an end now, which is gutty. But apparently, this is a good one. James Alexander Gordon. Now, he's the guy who read out the classified results on a 5 p.m. every Saturday on BBC Radio. And you know what? Right. He was a Falkirk supporter.
So that does shock me because I, from my own memory in my head, was that guy not like proper English?
I don't know. No. Because he did. I remember he had a Scottish twang to it, but he was a Falkirk.
Ah, right, okay. Amazing.
So there we go. Probably the most famous Falkirk supporter we've got, I would say.
And he's now unemployed. Is this what we're saying?
Well, I think he's dead now. I think he used to do it.
Oh, I see, right.
That's the way. But okay. Is there anyone that could be... Right, well, young Sheldon's a kind of... I guess young Sheldon's, if he is a Falkirk supporter, he's been pictured in a Falkirk tracksuit, you know. We're going to take that.
I think we're going to have to, yeah.
Can anyone trump that in celebrity supporters? I don't know if we can.
Listen, if anyone's going to get a celebrity in a Falkirk shirt, you're probably as close as anyone with
your day job.
So
I wonder,
can you not make this a mission?
I could make this a mission. I'm just trying to think, who could I get? Right, I can get a lot of radio guys, right? We could get George Bowie, Fred McCoy, George Bowie.
George is a Morton man, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. He probably wouldn't do it. And Fred's a St. Johnson guy. What I need to do is wait for the next celebrity. Oh, we had Winston for Still Game in the studio the other week there. Oh, I could have got him to do it.
Yeah, that would have been ideal.
But then
especially
he's a Celtic
after man. The Mrs. Begg song the other week there.
Yeah, he's a Celtic man, though. So I tell you what, here's the challenge there, right? If next celebrity, when we get into the studio at Clyde One, right, I will get a picture of him holding a Falkirk scarf, right? So celebrity... because the Scottish ones are probably a bit harder to come by because they probably have their own team. But next celebrity into the Clyde One studio, I'll get holding a Falkirk scarf, all right?
Could you also, for extra points, could you get them holding up like a sign that just says fuck the Powers or something like that as well?
We will do that as well, yeah, absolutely. So any celebrity spotting, so if you know of any celebrity that is a Falkirk supporter, please let us know so we can out them on this podcast. News front, being relatively quiet, the only thing that's really come through, Ross, is we signed Nicky Hogarth on a loan deal that happened after we recorded last week. We've got him on loan from Nottingham Forest, started at Rangers and now finds himself down there, Scotland under 21, the son of Miles Hogarth, which we'll get into in a minute. Who I didn't realise that Miles, it was only when the club put this up, played 126 games in goal for us.
Yeah, no, do you know, it was pretty consistent actually. I know a lot of fans are maybe say consistently not great, but I actually thought he was pretty good. He was a good shot stopper. He actually did, yeah, commanded his area. And you know, looking at his lad on Saturday, it is literally just like rolling back the years to the late sort of 90s, early noughties, to be honest.
I know.
Stunning goals, it's a bit bonkers.
I know, we'll get into his display and stuff. He didn't have much to do, in all fairness, at the weekend. But it was interesting that the club had almost like a little dig at Notts Forest. And on Twitter, they said, Falkirk Football Club can confirm that Nicky Hogarth has joined the club on a loan deal from Nottingham Forest until January, subject to international clearance. A full article we released at the time the signing was scheduled to be announced.
Do you know... I think banter's great between football clubs, especially when it's funny and it's relevant, right? The only thing is, should we be biting the hand that feeds us? Because I don't know how much Nicky Hogarth makes in a week. I'd be shocked if it doesn't dwarf what our best, highest paid player is, though.
I get it. You know, you don't want to sour a relationship just when you've started one, because it could open doors, obviously, to further player loans. And for a Premiership, you know, let's bear in mind that we're getting this guy now from a Premiership club. You know, you want to keep that relationship. So, yeah, I know you're a Forest man as well, Ross. That's your English team.
It's my dad. My dad's obviously from that area, and he was home. And he used to go every home game back in the day, So I do keep an eye out for them. I can't remember too many players leaving Forest to come to us. Obviously, Ricey, maybe back in the day. Yeah. if he came straight from there. I think he might have done, actually. Do you know what? I love a bit of banter, especially on Twitter and stuff. I think it's a good laugh. I think they could probably have... they could maybe have written it in a bit less of a sarcastic way. Obviously, joint announcements are meant to be that. They're meant, like, it's the done thing. You do it at the right time. But do you know what? They were doing us a bit of a favour, I assume. They're doing us a bit of a big favour, especially with the keeper situation. So, yeah, I maybe wouldn't have poked the bear.
Yeah. That leads us on, however, to a different 11 this week. Here we go. And this was set, my brother got me onto this, right? So we reckon we can put together an 11 based on ex-Falkirk players' sons. I've got it here, right? So there's a couple. I'll give you a start, Ross. Give me, right, so we've got Nicky Hogarth and goals. Give me a few players that are going into that 11.
Well, obviously, we've got Stevie Fulton played for us back in the 90s, and we've had two of his sons?
Yep, Jane Gale.
In fact, was there not a third from memory? Maybe Tyler Fulton or something as well.
Okay, there might
be. Maybe three. Derek Ferguson, again, was another 90s player. Obviously, he's got his son up at Aberdeen now.
He's in Italy now. He's moved to St.
Obviously, Nicky Henderson, as in of Clydebank, Bowie, 94 fame. He's got about 18 sons, and I'm sure 17 of them are footballers. So,
Ewan and Liam Henderson, so that's six.
Yeah, I'm struggling for a few more, though, unless you've got some.
Well, I've got a full 11 here that's sent to me by my brother. So we can put together a 11 based on ex-Falkirk players. So here we go. In goes Nicky Hogarth. At the back, Jamie McCart.
Good shout, yep.
Jay Fulton and Lucas Weir, Davy's son, plays football, as does his other son, Jensen. So Lucas and Jensen Weir can go in there, along with Ewan, Liam, Dale Fulton. And then up front, here you go. Here's your front up front pairing for the Falkirk Sons 11. Jack Stainrod, who I believe plays for East Fife and is Simon Stainrod's son.
Good shout, yeah. Yeah, he was on trial with us last year, but didn't get signed, unfortunately.
I just have Stainrod in the back of your top again. Would it be worth it? This one, you would never have got this one. Dominic Eorfa Jr., who plays, I believe, at a decent level in England.
Eorfa was a maverick player. Was that the Lambie season, wasn't it?
That was the Lambie season. Him and Finnegan came up at the same time.
Allegedly, Tony Finnegan. Was there not a rumour that he's twin brother?
I love that rumour. But he said he couldn't be arsed going up one week, and he sent his twin brother to play for us. And I believe that was he scored an absolute world. I remember it at Brockville. He scored an absolute worldie. Do you remember it? It was like
against Kelly.
It was just inside this, like, 6 yards away from the byline, and he hits it with the his boot, and it goes into the top end. Unbelievable. But there you go. That is the Falkirk Sons of London. If you can add any more names to that pile, get in touch with us again, Falkirk Daft, on Facebook or on Twitter. So let's get our guest pundit on so we can analyse the game with his. Someone we stand next to at the football, and he's always the loudest out of anyone around us. Please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Marshall Parson.
Hello, John. Nice to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
I was just saying there, though, Marshall, out of everyone that stands around us, I would have to say you're probably the loudest.
You reckon?
And one of the most opinionated as well, so expecting big things from you on this podcast, Marshall.
We'll do what we can, John. I like to share my opinions. I do like to have a shout as well. I think Fraser Blyme may remember one shout last year to his horror, but I think he just about jumped out his seat.
Yep. Recently, Marshall, before we get into the game on Saturday, let's get your Falkirk story. And first of all, ask, who is your favourite Falkirk player of all time?
Simon Stainrod.
Without a doubt, just like that, nailed
it.
No
question about it. Yeah. Class. I mean, we've had some great players. Crunchy's a great player. Russell Latterby, Bank Simon just had this arrogance. And he just knew he was good, John, and there was just something about him.
Yeah.
You know, he was a class act, you know. I think the quote was, I remember in one of the papers, he was the only player to say no to Barcelona and yes to Brockville Park.
I know, definitely. Different gravy, different gravy. And your favourite game, Marshall? We always ask everyone.
Favourite game was probably the semi-final replay against Celtic in 1997, because I couldn't believe a wee club like ours had gone and got to a Scottish Cup final. Just a pity we didn't finish the job off in the final, but that night was just unbelievable. You know, I think I, along with many others, just couldn't sleep for the excitement. I thought we're in the Cup final. You know, it just was, it was surreal and unbelievable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a very popular answer on here. And finally, the big question, Marshall, Gulnar or Sanam?
Definitely the Sanam, John.
Ah, we go,
I know,
man.
You and I disagree, but just as class, it's the best, one of the best in the country, never mind in the area. It's fantastic.
Right, okay.
Awesome. And I'm speaking as a man that, I'm speaking as a man that grew up in Ladbroke as well, John. So I'm
You've turned coat. You're a turncoat on Ladbroke. That's disappointing.
Absolutely.
By the way, I tell you what, the Gulnar and the Sanam should give us some poppy for all the advertising they're getting on this podcast.
Well, I was just about to say, those are the first that should be sponsoring us, John.
Exactly. Right, we'll maybe put an advert out for them at the end of the show, just if you're listening, any of the boys that work there, you know. Right, okay, let's get into the game then on Saturday. We're all sitting here, desperate to talk about it for once. Got smiles on our faces. Falkirk 3, Peterhead 1, Williamson, Morrison and Oliver for the Bairns, Gillies for Peterhead. Three changes from the team that started against Airdrie. McGuffey was out, Mackay and Morrison out because of injury. So brought in instead were who? I'm can't even remember. So obviously had Hogarth coming in, we had McCann coming in, and we also had who? Oh, I can't believe I've not written this down. Who else came in?
Oh my goodness!
McCann came in.
Hogarth moved from full back to midfield as well.
Yeah. So that were the changes that were made in the pub beforehand. Ross, you were not happy that Morrison and Nisbet both started. And I believe you were starting the campaign for McGlynn out.
No, I can absolutely refute that. I would never advise that. No, listen, I think most of us probably looked at the team when it was announced at 2 o'clock and thought, why are we seeing virtually the same team again as that had been destroyed by Airdrie? But do you know what? I know we joked about it on Saturday, the fact that McGlynn must have held Morrison and Williamson's family hostage or something to get a performance out of them. But actually, they were phenomenal. And yes, it was Peterhead, so who aren't, in the greatest respects, they're not going to be winning this league, right? We wanted 3 points. We got the 3 points. We wanted a few goals. We got a few goals. We created God knows how many chances. In fact, was it not something like 26 or 25, 26 shots on goal? Maybe 10, 15 of them are on target. Keeper was outstanding for them. He definitely saved it from being a cricket score. But honestly, really, really well done. I can't say more than that. Did we have 11 perfect players on the pitch? No, we didn't. I still think there was a couple in there that didn't have their best games, but we won, and we've got a smile on our faces on Monday rather than what we had to do last Monday.
What do you make of it, Marshall?
I think it was a long-needed victory. Yes, the opposition wasn't great, but in football, the saying is you can only beat what's in front of you. You know, see, at the end of the day, the team played really well. They actually looked as they had a shape about them. They looked organised. Every player seemed to know what they were doing. You know, we created loads of chances. I still think I'm a bit concerned about failure to finish some of them. But as you said, Ross, the keeper had a fantastic game, you know, and sometimes keepers do that and it's very difficult to beat them. I think the fact that Morrison got a goal will help his confidence. He was absolutely phenomenal. His work rate is probably the best I've seen for a Falkirk player in a long, long time on Saturday. Nesbitt played okay. You know, McGinn, I think, in front of the defence is an absolute class act. The Allegra, some people are, the jury's out on him, but I think he actually played not bad. I think he was unlucky with the header that hit the post. I actually thought he had some nice touches. He held the ball up quite well, you know. And the thing is, I think we've still got some players to come in as well. But I think the important thing was we played well. We made a lot of chances. I think I came away for the first time in a long time actually feeling that I'd been entertained on Saturday.
Marshall, I agree with you. I think, see, when you obviously mentioned about Morrison there, I think he got man of the match, didn't he? As in the official.
Yeah, he did,
He ran everywhere, every bit of artificial turf he was on it. That run towards the end to block, I think it was Dixon, to clear up the park. He just, that was what, in the last minute or the last couple of minutes? His work rate, as Marshall says, was outstanding. And Williamson obviously had a great game as well, not just offensively, but defensively, he did what he was asked to do as well. You mentioned Nesbitt, Marshall. He was one of, I thought he was played better again.
Assist for one of the goals, you could argue.
I think so, I think you're right, Ross. You know, he did assist one of the goals. And I'm not criticising the guy. In fact, if there was any mild criticism at all, it was the goal we lost. The defender didn't track the guy that came into the middle of the box, and suddenly we had two players in the middle of the box with the freedom of the penalty area. And I think that's just, I don't think it was bad play, I think it's just a lack of concentration. I think that's just defenders. We've been on the front foot for so long, suddenly they come up the park, and it's so easy just to lose that concentration. Yeah. And I think McGlynn will sort that out. In fact, you pointed out to me towards the end, the other one where they got the free kick on the edge of the box towards the end. I think McGlynn himself actually shouted, "That's embarrassing." You know, the two centre halves and this one guy, and they're fouling him to get the ball off him.
Yeah.
You know, when there was very little danger, but I'm sure he will sort that out. In fact, I'm absolutely certain that he's had a word with one or two players in the right way. And I think it just maybe illustrates, compared to what we saw last season, we've got a manager who can take what's went wrong and actually speak to the players and bring them on. Because there's no doubt to me, Morrison and Williams' performance was because McGlynn has spoke to them and spoke to them in the right way.
Yeah, it's a confidence thing. You could see Morrison from the off. He was, you know, he had that header off the bar. He was shooting. I think, you know, we obviously criticised him for making the wrong decision. You know, and there was maybe some points when you're thinking, has he made the right decision when he did that run? And it obviously paid off. At some point, you're just going, square it off or whatever. But what a run from him for the goal. But it seems to be a confidence thing with Morrison for me. It just seems to, you know, and you just hope he can bottle that up and bring it out again every Saturday, you know, because it is. But as a lot of people pointed out, it's 1 in 5 games for Morrison. You just hope, because as we say, there's an absolute footballer in both Morrison and Nesbitt. It's just, if they're more consistent, I guess that's why they're pointing at early level, because they've not got that consistency. But if he can find just a little bit of that, like, I think there was a tail end of, was it last season or the season before, where he was just flying. And you just think, you know, can he keep that going, and hopefully against Edinburgh on Saturday can?
That's the key, John. I think it is consistency that's needed, because if you go back to Nesbitt, that was probably his first good game since the Hibs game. Mm-hmm. Morrison, he scored against Bonnyrigg, remember, but otherwise he's been pretty average since. So it's just getting that confidence up consistently. And because we know he's got the skill, and it's not just him. There's others in there who just need to be a bit more consistent as well.
I think that effort comes for the manager, Ross. I think he's gone, because there's no doubt to my mind that John McGlynn has had a word with Morrison. Says you're better than you've shown. We know he's better than he's shown. We know what he's capable of. And he showed on Saturday what he can do. Yeah. He was taking men on. He was beating them. And some people have said that he does that against Peterhead. I still think if he plays like that against some of the so-called better teams in the league, I still think he's pretty much unplayable. You know, he's very difficult to respect. He's fast. He's got ability. His touch is good. And the goal, he just sort of beat enough men until he eventually saw the gap and just picked his spot and slotted it away. And he was very unlucky, you know, to score with his header. And a bit lucky, he could have had a hat-trick on the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
John, I actually think every team in this league would have, on each, if he's on form and on his day, every single team in this league would have him in their starting 11.
Do you think?
Every team, even the Pars, I think on his day, and Airdrie for that matter, on his day, when he's playing as good as he can, I think he would start in any of these teams. But he's just not consistent enough.
Aye. And I think you were a mistake, John, after your comment about.
I do owe a mistake. I tell you what, if he plays like that until the end of the season, I tell you, steak dinner's on me, Callum. Absolute steak dinner, full works. Philip Myong, all the way, mate. Peppercorn sauce, you can have the full shebang. Defensive changes, obviously, at the back and forth because of Mackay's injury. He was sitting about two rows in front of us. It doesn't look good for Brad Mackay, I have to say.
No.
All strapped up.
At least we've got cover, John. That's the thing, you know. I think one area we've really got a lot of cover on is the centre back. You know, we've got Watson to come in, we've got Mackay who's injured, we've got Donaldson, we've got Henderson.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got Mackie. You know, we've got players there to cover. I know Mackie's ostensibly a left back, but to be honest, I don't see how you can leave Liam McCann out of that team after the
league. I like Sean Mackay at centre half. That little mistake they had, the wee mix up that they had at the end between Donaldson and Mackay aside, I thought they were both. I mean, they didn't again have much to do. They had Peter Head playing the big Nigerian striker up front against them. He didn't get much change off either of them. I thought Mackay looked assured. And obviously, if you've got defensive problems, you call Donaldson. See what I did there?
Who are you going to call?
Call Donaldson. Rice. But I thought they looked really good. And I really like Mackay at centre half because I think McCann, like you say, Marshall, he had a good game on Saturday there. He was up and down that left-hand side really, really well. And again, it's the Leon McCann that we want to be seeing, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got a tremendous engine on him, John. You know, he was up and down there. His energy level was fantastic. His play was tremendous, you know. And I just think he offers some fit. Even if you played Mackay at left back, I think there's possibly a role in a left sort of wing back or middle of the park for McCann in front, you know, because he gives us so much going forward. You know, he's that good. I think he could be versatile that way, but I just don't see how you can leave him out of the team because he's one of the best players in the park on Saturday. You know, they all played well, but McCann impressed me tremendously the way he played.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I've got to say, Mackie's hair though, we're discussing this. Who's got worse hair, Nesbitt or Mackay?
I think Nesbitt has to be the bun.
The blonde curtains, you know, in the hairband. I'm not having it, Sean. I'm not having it.
I mean, I can't be an expert in that anyway, John.
I was going to say.
Haircuts are not my strong point, as you can see.
I think if I had hair, right. And I was a footballer, I think I would go for the Sean Mackay look.
Right, so you go to the hairdresser and say, right, you take the picture of Sean Mackay and the hairdresser and say, can I have my hair like that? Right, okay, right, Ross. I think you do, by the end of the season, you should be wearing a hairband in tribute to the great man that is Sean Mackay.
tell you the other thing, John, about Mackay, he loves a tackle.
Not long
after they had that guy sent off, how not to tackle. And then Mackay showed about 2 minutes later how to tackle a guy hard. Perfect timing, you know. He puts a great tackle in. He did, I think the first time we saw him was doing that was against Hibs in the League Cup.
Oh, he was smashed
with him. And what a lift the crowd get when it happens as well.
You know,
and so that Hibs game you're talking about, like the crowd cheered that tackle as much as the goal.
The thing is, Ross, we've stood and watched Falkirk players. I think too much standing off players, letting teams play in front of them. They're not going to get that with Mackay. He's just going to get fired into them. You know, you don't let teams play. You've got to make it hard for them. If you stand 5 yards off, you're letting them knock the ball around about you. Mackay's not like that.
No, you're right. Call Donaldson as well. He doesn't shirk a challenge. Absolutely not.
You mentioned the red card there. It happened quite near us. O'Keefe going off in 84th. I thought it was a bit harsh, if I'm honest with you. I mean, thoughts?
Some referees would, some wouldn't, John. I think it was fast. To me, it looked a bad tackle. Probably my initial reaction was, he's off for that. You know, the way I saw it, and I'm seeing the referee, what the referee saw is the same as what I saw. It was, you know, I thought it was a dangerous tackle. It could really hurt the guy, you know, the way he went in.
Yeah.
You know, he was never getting near the ball. I mean, what he should have done, he was losing the ball, he should have pulled out, so he didn't. If the rule is that the tackle endangers the player getting injured, then to me the red card was correct.
Yeah,
which is the only decision the guy got right the whole game.
The referee's name, by the way, was Stuart Luke, and he looked anything but a referee. I tell you that much. but he was terrible, wasn't he?
Yeah, Stonewall penalty. The McCann one was ludicrous. McCann gets pulled down, all right, McCann then through the Peter Head. But the first foul was against McCann, John. you know, it's, you know, you can't suddenly think, well, you've now retaliated, so I'm giving the field the other way. Yeah. You can maybe coach McCann for retaliating, but the foul was the other way. Allegra was fouled in the box. He was, the guy was behind him. It was just, I don't know what game the guy was watching. You know?
Marshall, I've watched the highlights back, and I've also seen a still picture from behind the goals, one of the club photographer Ian Steadon took, and Dixon, it was Paul Dixon, his hands are all over Allegria. Like, yeah. Honestly, like, he was as if he was searching him at the airport or something. You know. Do you know what I mean? He was properly arms right round him, in his pockets, in his shorts, up his shirt. You're like, what has this guy got to do to get a penalty?
I mean, it just beggars belief. And it just, to me, it's just incompetence. But the standard, the refereeing in the lower reaches of Scottish football is dreadful, Ross.
It has been really poor so far. I mean, I think from both sides as well, I mentioned the red card. I think, I've not been impressed at all. Certainly his performance is probably the worst I've seen this season. That penalty decision, that Leon McCann decision, were disgraceful. You know,
I don't think criticising him too much, because actually we don't have our game without him, you know, but I mean, all we're asking him is to be fair and apply the rules and the laws of the game, and he's not doing that in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. And you need help from their assistants as well, which they very rarely get. Mention Allegri there for the penalty incident. Again, I thought Allegri, for me, had a good game, and all it was missing was a goal. His hold-up play, his running, you know, it was all there, I thought, on Saturday. He just missed that goal. He just, that one-on-one chance he had, he just thought if that had went in, there'd be more to come. And hopefully once he gets that goal, it's just going to ignite it, because I thought he had a really good game on Saturday.
I would agree with you, John. I think he held the ball well. And I think he was unlucky. I mean, the header came off the post. I think he's kind of slipped, you know, when the one-on-one, I think his standing foot went underneath him. Whether it's because it's a lack of confidence, I don't know. You get that with strikers. Strikers thrive in confidence. If they've not scored for a while, you're that desperate to put the ball away. You actually try too hard to put it in. You know, but I thought he played very, very well. You know, and I agree exactly with every word you said there, John. He had a good game. He held up, he brought other players into the game, you know, being able to look, his layoffs were quite clever.
Yeah.
There was no issue with him on Saturday. I thought he deserved he got a bit of a standing ovation when he came off, and I thought he deserved it really. And I agree with you. I think he's a goal away from maybe scoring a good chunk of goals for us. We need him to work, and I think he will. I think he'll get better as well, because he's obviously, it's new club. It's a different club. Let's face it. He's probably, I know he's been out on loan various places, but he's probably used to everything that's going on and off at Murray Park or whatever Rangers are calling their training place now. But
I think he's maybe one of these players that just needs that bit of luck. And we've seen it. We've seen players that we've had that we thought were not good for us, so he's going to other clubs and doing really well.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully he's a fit for us, you know, and he comes on. And the way he played on Saturday, I think he's got a bit of pace about him as well. You know, I think, he's got something about him. You know,
he needs to stay onside though. He needs to learn that offside though, because he was caught offside too many times. Ross, I believe this could be a great way to introduce our new feature, which is Ross Wayne's Dad Joke of the Week, which obviously you made on Saturday. Do you remember what the joke you made about Juan Allegri?
Oh no! Yeah, I think I do. Actually,
go on.
Is this what I suggested to you? You have a twin brother called Hamal. Once you've seen Juan, you've seen Hamal. Yeah. It was poor. It was a poor
stuff, Ross. You know, knowing some of your Facebook stuff for the years gone by, Ross. I mean,
I think it's
a career that's maybe just passed you by a wee bit,
Perfect way to introduce the dad joke of the week from Ross, I think, going forward. I've got to say, we've got a new nickname for Allegri from Saturday. Our friend Fraser Googled what Allegri meant in Spanish. Now, do you know what Allegri means in Spanish, ladies and gentlemen? It means joy. Okay?
Joy.
So hopefully he will bring joy to us this season. And obviously Juan is kind of Spanish for John, so I am thinking we now call Allegri, we were calling him the Vauxhall, but now for me, Allegri is Johnny Joy. So Johnny Joy is the new nickname for Big Juan Alegria, and hopefully he can bring us that as the season progresses. It sounds like he's an 80s wrestler, Johnny Joy, but you know, or a stripper potentially. But yeah, Johnny Joy is the new name for Juan Alegria. So yes, hopefully go and that will set him off. Now, we've not talked about the main man, our boy, the PE teacher. Rumours have it that Cafu is now calling himself the Brazilian Williamson after Saturday's performance.
I noticed just before we came on, during the SPFL, are actually calling him Cafu. You know, and they actually showed the goal. You know,
Hi
SPFL. You know, I can't mind exactly what it said, Ross, but the name Cafu was mentioned.
Oh dear.
Yeah. But this is a guy who, to me, 2 weeks ago looked like Bambi on ice. You know, and he was unplayable on Saturday. I mean, and the thing is, if you've got that, you've got two fullbacks, you've got McCann, and we'll not talk about, because I've mentioned McCann before, but Ryan Williams, I didn't think there was a man took the ball off him hardly on Saturday. He was unbelievable. He's touching the ball, beating the man, skinning him was just incredible.
He's unplayable at points. It was unbelievable.
And the thing is, I think he just got fed up towards half-time, but lost that silly goal. And I think he just got fed up with everybody else. I'm fed up passing you guys. I'm just going to go and do this all myself and smash it into the back of the net, which is exactly what he did. You know, just unbelievable.
Can't argue with the goal. He obviously picked it up somewhere in Pullman and then ran the length of the pitch. The only thing I'm going to criticise him for... The only thing I'm going to criticise him for is his celebration, because what he should have done is run along the park looking for John and then just went like that.
Hey, listen, I wasn't the one that labelled him the PE teacher. I'll have you that much. I'll have you that one.
No,
he's looking for you. Right, so, what, right, boys. And again, just a shout-out for good to see Gary Oliver off the mark as well, because hopefully, again, like Allegria, that goal just gives them the confidence, at least to more, especially because we're playing Dunfermline really, really soon. We know that Gary Oliver loves a goal against the Pars.
That's exactly what I want to see, John. And the Dunfermline fans themselves, they're all saying he scores against us, but nobody else. Well, hopefully he's going to score against a few more, you know.
But the
guy works incredibly hard on the pitch. You know, he puts himself about, and he was in the right place at the right time for that. Knocked back, you just knocked the header over the keeper in at the back, and that sort of took any pressure off us at all.
Yeah, Lewis caught up with John McGlynn after the match, and this is what he had to say.
John, a good day at the office today. I thought that Peterhead, to their credit, they made life difficult for us, but last sort of 20 minutes or so, we were really turning the screw.
I thought we totally dominated the game from start to finish. We asked for a reaction. We got a reaction and the players were fantastic. I mean, the effort they put in there. I mean, Callum Morrison, what a work rate he put in, you know. And it was brilliant to see the fans appreciating that when he's running there late in the game. He's closing down the defender, and then the defender doesn't have any time in the ball. And so the defender can't produce quality going forward. Because he's pressurised on the defender's got to rush and clear it, and then it's not a good ball coming up, and so it's easier for us to defend. So these small things, but they're big things, you know, with regards to that, transmit through the whole team. But we did that from minute go, you know, from the get go. We were at them, pressing, closing down. Yeah, last week we didn't quite get our press right, but we're right on it today. And numerous chances, loads of chances. I mean, the goalkeeper had a world day, an absolute world day. To find ourselves at like 44 minutes, a goal behind was absolutely frightening and incredible. That Ute, one chance he could score, and we've had like, you know, umpteen chances. So, but what a response, you know, what a response. Ryan Williamson on a run going forward, driving forward, seen a gap, went for it and got right through. And what a finish, you know, it was a finish that, you know, any striker would be proud of. Just, you know, passed it away in the faraway corner. And it took a lot to actually beat that goalkeeper on the day, because he had some game. So brilliant from Ryan. You know, although it was 1-1 and it was the absolute least we deserved at half-time, you know, I was really pleased with the performance. The performance was there. We passed the ball really, really well. There was loads of variation to our play. And even in the second half, it was good to get the start, even before we scored. We had other chances. And the chances just kept on coming and coming and coming, because we were relentless, you know. Thought our play was fantastic. Thought the energy levels, our fitness all the way. And Callum showed great composure with his goal, you know, and he showed composure on a number of occasions, yet the goalkeeper still managed to save a few of them. Delighted for Callum on the day, the performance that he put in, the effort that he put in, he deserved at least a goal, you know, probably two or three goals. And then good for Gary Oliver to get his, you know, off the mark as well, his first goal for the club. Sean Mackey were in the header and for the corner kick, and he flicks it in just, you know, a yard or two out. So good performance, good result. It could have been by a greater margin if we were being a little bit pernickety, but good response, sets again another marker down and something to build on.
So John McGlynn there quite rightly highlighting Callum Morrison and using the word, and I think this is the word, relentless. That was really important on Saturday. When you look at the stats of the match, 68% possession to Falkirk, 24 shots to 4, 16 shots on target to 1, which was their goal, 11 corners to 1. Relentless is definitely a word that you can use from Saturday, and let's hope they take that streak into the game against Edinburgh.
One of the things I would say there, John, I think the Sheerans of this world, I think they used to say we need to watch and we need to respect the teams that play. And I think Falkirk for too long have respected the other teams. It's our place. We're a bigger club in this league. We should be going, this is how we're going to play. We're going to play our game. It's don't worry about how the other teams are going to play against us and impose our game on the.
Yeah. I mean, Peterhead were poor. Peterhead were undoubtedly poor, and it was a poor goal for us to give away. Keeper, again, like you mentioned, had a great game. Absolutely brilliant game. But yeah, relentless. Let's keep that up, and I quite like that. Right, okay, let's go to the view from the supporters. We put this out on our Twitter after the game to get your thoughts on the match. Derek kicks us off with, a different team turned up today, eventually took their chances. If it wasn't for the Peterhead keeper Newman, that would have been a total rout. Williamson and Morrison's goals were superb. The confidence shown in the second half made the 1-2 passes come off. Actual football, says Derek.
Love it. And
what I would say. It was a football team we were watching Saturday.
Probably for the first time since that Hibs game when there was actual football being played, eh?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Navy Blue agenda. Your man, the PE teacher, stepped up, boys. Looked a lot more comfy on the ball. McGinnis unreal, doesn't get anywhere near enough credit. Still not scoring enough goals, but we can build on this.
That's a very good shout. I thought McGinn had a great game there as well. Very quiet. In fact, shout out to Harrington as well. I thought the midfield, Yeats, Harrington and McGinn were really good in midfield. And they went a bit unsung on Saturday. But yeah, McGinn is definitely someone that it just goes under the radar and does his job brilliantly.
John, what he doesn't waste a ball, John.
He's always looking up. He's always looking up for a forward pass, and very rarely he'll go back. He's always looking on the lookout. Yeah. Cross, forward. I really like him. Really, really like him.
We noticed the difference having Yates back in the midfield as well.
Aye. Yeah, absolutely.
Young lad, tremendous energy, tremendous ability as well.
Yeah.
His through ball for Allegra.
Great.
Was a tremendous through ball. And that's the kind of thing. If Kevin De Bruyne was doing that, you'd be creaming yourself in Sky Sports about that, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just unbelievable.
I don't know if I want to see Chris Boyd creaming himself on Sky Sports, to be honest with you, Mark.
No, absolutely not.
Euros, you know, but, and then he was very unlucky with his shot because the keeper again made a really good save, you know.
Yeah,
he sort of hit the thing in, you know.
He just thought maybe we go for him there as well. Paul says, great effort by the team. Couple of players posting missing last week really stepped up, and Morrison especially could have had 5 or 6 if not for the Peterhead keeper in great form. Also, the PE teacher doing this thing and teaching the strikers how to score. Fantastic strike. There we go.
Indeed. We had Peter. Oh my goodness, Saturday night and I'm not pissed off, he says. Definitely can say that was a nearly enjoyable today. So many opportunities to score. Falkirk would and should have been totally out of sight. Some individual good goals. Delighted for Gary Oliver as well. And I thought the captain was brilliant. Come on, you Bairns.
Nice, absolutely. Jamie, first half all over the place. Sad to say so, but there you go. Second half a lot better. Not convinced our centre-backs are good enough. Was too easy for Peterhead players just to run by them. Came together a bit better in the second half. Morrison's some player and look forward to seeing what Lowell will be like this season. That's a hot take. I wouldn't say we were all over the place. I thought it, I mean, when you look back, defending for that set, like how he's on that space at the back post is unbelievable. But I didn't think we were all over the place.
I wouldn't agree with that. We weren't all over the place. And I think what I said earlier, John, the goal was probably because the defence had hardly had anything to do. I think we just switched off. I think that's what caused that. And much as anything else, and that's, I think John McGlone will be emphasising, you know, you've got to concentrate all the time. You know, you might not be under pressure of that, but they're always going to get a sniff and you've got to just react to that. And I just think they switched off for a minute and that's what caused it.
Yeah. And if you have defensive problems, what do you do?
Call Donaldson.
Absolutely. Donaldson. That's going to catch on.
Big Spow says, let's not get too carried away. We did go behind to arguably the worst team in the league and failed to take a number of chances that against better teams would have come back to bite us. Hetherington is still not good enough. We shouldn't need two defensive mids at home to Peterhead.
I don't think we played two defensive mids. Hetherington was sitting fair enough, but I thought Yeats and McGinn were, you know, McGinn was box to box and Yeats was going beyond. I don't think we did it. I thought Hetherington, I think that's a bit harsh on Hetherington. I thought he had a decent game.
I thought it was one of his better games. I don't think it was brilliant, but I think it was one of his better games. And I've said this three or four times. We do need to remember it was Peterhead, and I don't want that to come across as a slagging up. I think they're a great football club. They try their best every single season, and they do get the odd good results.
Jesus, you sound like a mod sports day. He tried his best. They try their best every season. You know, as long as you try your best, son, that's all we can ask for.
If that was the mothers of Sheeran and Martin Rennie, so it's good enough.
Hetherington, I think, is one of these players that frustrates. He probably does a lot of work that a lot of folk don't appreciate, a lot of tidying up work. He does harass people. I think sometimes the game passes him by. I thought he was okay on Saturday.
Well, yeah. Craig comes in at this opinion. Craig says, let's be honest, Peterhead are a poor team this year. Good to get our first win and goals at home. Although if Morrison would pass, we'd have a lot more goals. Still getting on his back. Feel sorry for Hetherington, to be honest. Not the worst player today, but any mistakes get jumped on by the crowd. He has become that. Him and Williamson, well, Williamson maybe not so much now, but Hetherington, they always need a target, and Hetherington seems to be the one this season.
To be fair, when he got subbed, John, I thought the crowd gave him a decent round of applause.
Yeah, they did.
And, you know, I think you've got to appreciate the players. And I think, get behind them. I think, hopefully, what the players see when folk are trying to play well, that they've got a support there that will get behind them. We've been criticised for a long time for being moan. I think we've had every right to moan their faces off. But I think they can see when we've actually put a performance on and the team put that effort in, the crowd at the stadium will back them 100%.
Totally agree. Rido says Williamson played out his skin, easily had his best game in a Falkirk shirt. Hopefully Morrison can kick on now with a bit of confidence after his performance yesterday. Really need to play the way we did in the second half from the start every week. Don't disagree with that at all.
Gavin says Morrison's work rate was excellent and on our day easily could have had a hat trick. The result yesterday is what we should be expecting as a minimum, but the performance was very encouraging.
Yep, totally agree. And then second, last comment we've got is from Josh. Well, we can all be Falkirk dafties after Williamson, the PE teacher, played brilliantly. The restaurant connoisseurs seemed a little bit more decisive, especially Morrison. Felt he definitely had clearer decisions today and made the correct one mostly. Still work to do for Nesbitt, but still an improvement. Loving the podcast, by the way, guys. Looking forward to more episodes this season. I feel bad for the Vauxhall. John, what have you done with this nickname? Though as he played well up until his final touch decision, felt he could have had one or two goals on a different day with some more confidence.
You mean Johnny Joy? You mean Johnny Joy of the Vauxhall? It's very good. I'm going to get that catching on next.
John, that sounds like some weird cheap condom company. Johnny Joy. I'm not sure.
Hawker's very own Johnny Joy. Ribbed for her. And finally, Reece says Callum Morrison. That's it. That's the tweet. And there you go. Right, okay, let's get in. This is going to be a hard choice this week, actually. Who is the Falkirk Daft rated? Now, you could say it's between two, but Marshall, I know you were a big fan of McCann's performance on Saturday, so I'll go with you first. Who are you going for?
No, I still think Morrison deserved the man of the match. He was outstanding. His work rate alone I think he has to be the man of the match. I think it's a difficult one to choose between them because it happened between McCann, Williamson and Morrison. But I think Morrison, because particularly that one you alluded to, when he, right at the end of the game, when he's chasing the fullback down to stop him clearing the ball at the park, that just summed up his performance.
Yeah. Okay. Ross?
Callum Morrison. Can't see past him. I know we've been critical, but it more than deserves every bit of credit for Saturday. We just now need him to go and do it.
Consistently.
Consistently, yeah.
Right, well, I'm obviously, I'm going to have to go for Big Ryan then. Since you two went for Morris, I'm going to go for Big Ryan. I thought he was absolutely unplayable, getting forward defensively. I thought he had a brilliant game, and obviously we've slagged him off a wee bit on here. So, Big Ryan is my Falkirk Daft rated. Let's go to the Falkirk Dafty. Ross, what do you reckon?
I'm going to stay away for the playing side and the management this week. I'm going to give a shout out to a guy we all know very, very well, your friend and mine, wee Lewis Connolly, who after the match spoke to Ryan Williamson and John McGlynn, and said it was a good day at the office this week rather than a bad day at the office against Airdrie. I wonder if he's going to keep this office analogy going every week. So I'm going to go Falkirk Dafty, Mr. Luigi Connolly.
Right, okay. Marshall, what you got?
Oh, I'm going to go for the referee if I'm allowed to, John.
Yeah, go for it. Stuart Luke's.
Stuart Luke, absolute clueless, no comprehension of the game, what he was watching. You know, I think the only decision he got right is probably one you and I disagree on, John, is a red card. You know, some of the other stuff was just, and the Lee and McCann one is just, I've never seen anything like that in 40 odd years of watching football. You know, it's pathetic. You get fouled, you get a foul given against you.
Yeah, I'll go with the referee as well, actually. That's very, very poor. So that's my Falkirk Dafty of the week as well. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Marshall. Really appreciate that. You'll be able to hear Marshall's dulcet tones if you sit in the main stand, even if you're at the other end. In fact, if you're in the south stand, you'll probably hear Marshall anyway. So listen out for Marshall's dulcet tones at the stadium.
You know, I've had to tone it down so that I didn't drown out the rustling of the sweetie paper. So we have a nice
now we're in the main stand, you've had to tone it down right enough, you get thrown out of us there. Right, listen, thanks for coming on, Marshall. And if you want to be our pundit on Falkirk Daft, all you have to do is drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can email us, easy for me to say, at falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Every week on Falkirk Daft, we're going to ask a big question that needs answered. And after we've slagged off the Scottish calf for you and Callum Morrison in the last couple of weeks, i.e. the PE teacher, we thought it's time to come out and say, we were proved a bit wrong on Saturday. We'll wait and see across the season if we're proved completely wrong. But we thought the question should be this week, what player at Falkirk proved you wrong? First of all, let's go to Stuart. Stuart says, Conor McGrandles, when he first broke into the team, looked completely out of his place at a young age and miles off it physically, quickly established himself as one of the best products from the academy, if not the best. Classy midfielder by the time he left.
Good, that's a good shout. Dave says, Tom Teo. Didn't rate him much at Hibs, but was a solid player in midfield for us. Scored a double against the Dunfermline team a few years ago. Put them out of the League Cup as well, so that helped.
No, absolutely. Yeah, Tom, again, just one that just grew into that jersey, didn't he? Donald says Yogi, while Gordon says Darren Dodds.
Well, Yogi would be a surprise because obviously he was absolutely rank rotten at every position that he tried, bar centre half. So I could understand that shout out. Darren Dodds is a good one as well because obviously he came a bit later in life and I don't think there was a great expectation on him. So Darren Dodds is a good shout as well. Yep.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. You got Kenny there?
Yeah, so Kenny's saying Luke Leahy started as a midfielder, didn't look like he'd make it as a professional footballer. Outstanding as a left back, though. I think that's an easy one there.
There is, we were talking about it Saturday, there's always that player you think, oh, they start off terribly and then you're slagging them and then they turn out to be a player and you feel really bad about it. Campbell says John Baird is an example of that, turned out to be a much better player than I thought he would be when we signed him.
John Baird was phenomenal, wasn't he? James says he thought the Lee Miller that we were getting in 2015 was completely done and he couldn't have been more wrong. Yeah, Big Lee did really well for us.
Big sexy. Homer is kind of flipped this on the head. He says, Connor Salmon, but not in the right way. A big athletic centre forward, played at English Championship and SPFL level, commanded some big transfer fees, thought he would walk League One. How wrong I was.
I think we all thought that,
Flipped on his head, going from what you thought you were getting a player, and then turns out to be...
To that.
As is in our next one, Ross.
So Greg suggested Lee Griffiths, even though he was unfit, he thought he'll still get his goals.
Nope,
not at all. Nope.
And Gavin's got on their back for this one, Ross. Gavin says, not a fan of this. He's proved nothing playing against certain relegation candidates. Replicate it every week, week in, week out. Please, not just one-offs. So, Gavin, raging.
Do you know what? Fair play, though. He's right. It is a one-off. It was Peterhead. We need to be doing this more. But let's hope this time next week we're talking about a good one.
Listen, remember, Callum, that steak dinner's on the line.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Every week at Falkirk Daft, we like to look ahead to our opponents. And this weekend, we face FC Edinburgh in their new home of Meadowbank Stadium. And on to talk about the team and give us an insight into the club, it's Ali Moncrief from the Citizen Supporters Club. How you doing, Ali?
Ali.
Yeah, very well, John. Very well, Ross. Thank you very much for having me on.
No, it's great. I mean, great start to the season for you guys. 2-1 out of 3, 4-2-1 at the Rex there on Saturday. I mean, how have you been surprised at how well you have done since coming up onto this league?
Yeah, I think it's been a huge surprise. I won't go too much into to last season, but we sneaked into the playoffs last season. To be honest with you, we just hit form at the right time. You know what it's like with a small league. A wee run of results just gets you into position. So from a pretty poor season last season, played really well in the playoffs. You're looking at League One, and remember we were playing in public parks not that long ago. Too, and you look at it and you go, Dunfermline, oh, Falkirk, oh, Airdrie, we're going to get battered every week here. But just kind of as the summer progressed, started to re-sign a few players, so kept some continuity in the squad. A couple of guys on two-year deals, so you know yourselves, thinking, okay, there's a bit of a commitment there. And then actually brought in players like Liam Fontaine, for example, Kieran McDonald, players that I think most lower league fans would look at and think, that's not a bad signing at all.
Yeah, so Fontaine especially.
Haven't been surprised so much because the recruitment was so good, and actually compared to some really challenging recruitment situation for just about everybody else, I think teams have really struggled this summer, and we've had one of the best windows, I think, in the lower leagues.
No, absolutely. So do you think it's the new players coming in have made a big difference and led you to in this like early season form?
They have, yeah, but I think also we did change managers towards the end of last season. We replaced Gary Naismith with, an ex-Falkirk duo and Alan Mabry and Mark Kerr. So they brought a bit more attacking impetus into the team, changed the shape up, gave the players a more defined style of play. Naismith chopped and changed a lot. So it feels like a few of the guys that were already here last year, John Robertson, who you'll have seen scoring some goals already this season, on a great start. His game's gone up a level. Absolutely bringing in some real quality, some experience as well, some real good players is important. But in fairness to the coaching staff, they've really improved the players that were here as well. So that's been great to see, to be honest with you.
Do you know, that doesn't shock me, to be honest with you, Ali, because obviously Alan Mabry was obviously a real well thought of coach at Falkirk when he was there.
Yeah.
Mark Kerr, player, coach.
Legend.
He nearly could have been a manager or a coach at one time as well, but that doesn't shock me at all. The two of them just absolutely live and breathe football, similar I suppose to what we were just talking about with John McGlynn and Paul Smith. They're proper football guys, and you know that's what you're going to get. Obviously I think you guys have got obviously Robbie Muchu. Listens to the podcast as well, but he seems to have started really, really well as well.
Yeah, he our goalkeeper last season was our player of the year by a ridiculous distance. So it's Brian Schwalke on loan from Livingston. He's at Morton this year and deserves his chance a little bit higher up. I think he'll challenge for Livy number one pretty soon.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So we brought in Sam Oh yeah, without a doubt, he probably won us about 15 points last year. I'm genuinely not exaggerating, with that. And I know he's really highly thought of it at Libby. So we knew we were going to struggle to replace the goalie. We brought in Sam Rams, but I'm like, well, okay, that might be all right. Thinking he was going to be number one, but then you know, a few weeks later, Robbie Much came in, and he came straight into the team. Looked really good, made an unbelievable save on Saturday, just a completely take your breath away save that kept our momentum in the game. So yeah, he's had a really, really good start. As one of those things, it's a really sensible signing, I think, for this division, for a team like us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's talk a wee bit about the actual what's happened at SDN, because I'm intrigued. Just for people that don't know, Ali, why did you have to change the name from Edinburgh City to FC Edinburgh?
So the reason, there's a long answer and a short answer. I'll give you the medium one. basically, the name Edinburgh City Football Club was owned by the social club. So that's a social club about 5 minutes walk from my house. Everyone assumed that the social club and the football club were one entity. Not the case. It goes back to liquidation and reconstruction back in the 1950s and then in the 1980s. So basically from the mid-1980s onward, there's been Edinburgh City football team and Edinburgh City social club. It coexisted, but were separate entities, separate legal entities. And the football club used Edinburgh City FC name on agreement from the social club.
Right.
So that's not a great situation to be honest with you. And we did understand that. It obviously limits what the club can do, marketing and growth and things like that. So we were recently, maybe a few years ago, we were bought over by our current owner. And it really does seem that he wasn't connected with the club before, complete outsider, is from Edinburgh but lived abroad and is back now. And his big thing seems to be that we don't make enough of having Edinburgh in our name, being Edinburgh, being, you know, that club. Yeah. And his great marketing idea, if you can just get some of the sarcasm out of my voice there, is that if our name is Edinburgh, that's going to be the thing that attracts people to come and see us. Let's go and see Edinburgh play. So change the name from, without any consultation with fans, which I think anyone who's been online and is on Pinterest and things will have seen the reaction, not just from us, but from people like yourselves thinking, what's going on here? Yeah. Change the name to FC Edinburgh. And it's important to state that doesn't stand for Football Club Edinburgh. It's just an F and a C and Edinburgh. So if you check Companies House, that's what it is. So it could be Edinburgh, could be the name. I'm not entirely sure. So the lack of fan consultation is a huge issue. It was announced on a Facebook Live chat where we also changed the badge without any consultation as well.
Yes.
Ali, I'm going to tell you something. I watched that. And obviously...
Sorry about that, Ross.
No, listen. I was intrigued because obviously Edinburgh were coming into the league and... Yeah. Moving to the stadium and stuff like that. So we were kind of, myself and a few others, were keeping a kind of close eye. And I remember it, I can't remember who shared it on Twitter or whatever the case may be, but I logged in to watch it and it was just surreal because it was like, this is the new club name, this is the new badge, here's your new strips. And you're like, well, this is a bit much for, do you know what I mean? It was just odd. It was just an odd behaviour.
It amazes me that no one's at the club's thought, right, well, we've got a supporters club here, a supporters group. Maybe we should talk to them about these changes. Maybe they might have something to say, because at the end of the day, you guys have been following the team for God knows how long, putting money into the coffers week in, week out. It's just crazy.
Yeah. The chairman has got my number. Chairman phoned me on Saturday. I'm going to the board meeting tomorrow to discuss some of my... I said to you earlier, been a couple of podcasts last week, and you know, I wrote a letter to the board. It's there for people to read on Pine Borville if they wish detail on some of the concerns. So there is going to be some engagement now, but it's 2 months down the line, which and everything's done. So the name is
the
chairman, and I've, you know, we've had a it's such a small club that you know the board. You see them at the games, you chat, how's things getting on, you're all right, you know what you've been up to. You will have just general conversations. We've had more formal conversations previously as well. But it was very clear that the decision was made and to help.
That's it.
And it was radio silence for 2 months afterwards, by the way. Like complete. So it's obviously just, let's just breeze through this. Let's just get through it.
Yeah.
And come out the other side.
It really infuses as a football supporter, because we're all supporters of football, we're all supporters of our club, and the fact they've just railroaded, someone's come in and just railroaded this, it just reeks. What have you made about the move to Meadowbank, Ali?
It's a really sore one, and this one I've got some blame for the club, but not all of it. I think Meadowbank is where most people who follow Edinburgh City would say is our home. Like any kind of small club in Edinburgh, teams like Leith Athletic, for example, they've been nomadic. They've moved about the city because you've got the two big clubs and everybody else is kind of fighting for scraps. But Meadowbank would be the spiritual home from the kind of mid-1980s when Meadowbank Thistle moved to Livingston, really. So it was great excitement that we were going back there. But to be honest, we were going back to something that wasn't the same as what we knew. For all its faults, the original Meadowbank was a stadium where Liz McCaughan won the 10,000 metres at the Commonwealth Games. Her name wasn't McCaughan at the time, but he's went there, where Michael Johnson almost broke the 200 metres world record, you know, just 15 minutes from my front door, where the Foo Fighters played, the White Stripes played, Elton John played.
Muse, stadium. Muse. I went to see Muse. Fantastic.
Muse did play there as well. So that's what, and it wasn't the, well, it had a certain beauty to it, but it did need things done to it. It did need modernised. But Meadowbank Stadium has been replaced by Meadowbank Leisure Centre, to be honest with you. Now, it's a top-class leisure centre. I use it as my gym. It's tremendous. The facilities are brilliant. Spin classes, the great gym equipment, there's stuff for basketball. All of this stuff is, the track's beautiful. It's amazing. But
it's not a football stadium.
Yeah. It's not simple as that. And I think the club had some guarantees. There's challenges with planning permission that we did have for another stand, which would have made it a viable, not brilliant, but a viable football venue, and that ran into trouble to do with complicated permissions on who owned the land, because there's a house builder involved, because it's Edinburgh, so there's always a house builder involved somewhere, to be honest with you. So it's been a real, real disappointment. It just isn't viable for League One football. If it had been when we were still in the Lowland League, it'd have been all right, because you've got that stand there, you get 500 folk in the stand, you know, we were playing to 120, 130 in the Lowland League.
Yeah.
But when teams like Dunfermline came a couple of weeks ago, you guys coming on Saturday, it's just not viable. And I have to say that, that's been the bit. There's a lot of stuff going on, but that for me was the tipping point. I really, hugely, hugely disappointed.
I mean, I've just looked at, I think you've got a capacity of 1,280. Is that the roughly the capacity of it?
Yeah.
Speaking to a few Dunfermline supporters who went a couple of weeks back, said it was just horrendous. I mean, certainly for the away section, three portaloos, ran out of everything by half time. You're exposed, obviously, to the elements out there. You're a mile away from the pitch. They just said it was a horrible fan experience, you know. And I guess as a supporter as well, you don't want that to be reflected on your club.
Yeah. So I walked out at half time in the film game because I was, you know, you just feel yourself. You're just winding up and winding up, and I said, I'm going to say something here, and say something I regret. So I'm just going to go, because it felt to me that the board had the notification they're not going to be able to build an extra stand, even a temporary one at the moment, but they still saw 750. That's it. There's 750 Dunfermline fans going to come here at 18 quid a pop, a few concessions. So let's average out at 15 quid. They just looked at that and thought, let's just get them in here somehow. Let's just get them in. And for me, that was not right. It wasn't acceptable at all. I've found that because I don't want opposition fans to come that, oh, what a brilliant, you know, I don't need them to come and say, oh, what a brilliant club, aren't Edinburgh lovely, oh, great, what a great, they can think we're a horrible team, I hate visiting there, it's, you know, the players are cheating bastard, and the fans are always at you, but it needs to be fair, the fans need to be treated reasonably and need to be treated properly. We're all football fans here. Yeah. We all love going home and away, yeah. And it just wasn't acceptable for me. Really not acceptable.
And it's a shame because it's like almost cutting off your nose to spite your face, because we would, you know, now you're in League One, you know, you've got big away supports like ourselves, like Dunfermline, you know, that would take, I mean, we would take 1,000 on, if the, I think we would easily take 1,000 on Saturday more, because it's a great, obviously, for us, Edinburgh coming up, we were like, brilliant, a great wee away day, you know, we can wander down from Waverley into Meadowbank, but then obviously all this has come with it, and it is, you would make more, if you could build something fit to purpose, you'd make more money, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And we have to, I don't know what, like I said, meeting the board on tomorrow, so we're recording this on Monday, I meet them on Tuesday night. I'm obviously happy to hear what they've got to say, but they need to find out. They need to find something, because it is a great away day. We were playing at Ainslie Park, you know, kind of Spartans ground for 4 years, 5 years, and it was in the middle of nowhere, no pubs nearby, transport was terrible, not accessible. Meadowbank's location is amazing, you know, for people who want a pint or people who've got families and things like that. It is really accessible. Loads of boozers nearby, all of that kind of stuff. Even for all the Dunfermline fans complained, they were able to get a pint for £4, so they were just about happy with that. So
you don't get that now. The festivals here, you don't get a £4 pint then. But I'll tell you that much, Ali. Listen, let's get back to the football and into brighter things, because Edinburgh obviously going really well. 2 wins out of 3 so far. What are you thinking about Saturday?
It'll be interesting, because the game to compare it to is the Dunfermline game, where they ran over us, to be honest with you, but we had a chance, a really good chance, to make it 1-1. The second after they scored, we went right up the park, missed that. That was frustrating. And we got a man sent off, young Jack Bryden on loan from Hibs, who's a good player, just got the ball stuck under his feet and kind of pulled a player back. Penalty, Robbie saved it actually. But we were down to 10 men against a good, well, a decent enough side, to be fair, who were professional enough, strong enough, fit enough, quick enough. Yeah, put us away. So I expect us to put a much better showing than that. We are better on the counter attack. We will play 3 centre halves. We'll get our widths from our 2 wing backs, and we'll play 2 up front. So we are a real threat on the counter. Like, and I do mean that, a real, real threat.
Right.
Said doing an Alloa podcast for preview for the game on Saturday, and I said, look, our front two will, whoever it is, I think it'll be Uzi C and John Robertson, will cause you problems, because they'll pull one way, they'll pull the other.
Yeah.
Rob will just gets a shot off. He doesn't need much of an invitation. And so it proved. So if you guys come at us, that will probably suit us better, if you know what I mean. If you get a chance there. I don't know how much we would play in terms of, there won't be any teams that will really sit in against us, to be honest with you, but I expect us to make a much, much better game of it. I know you guys had a good win on, or a decent enough win on Saturday, but you've not started the season as well as you would have expected, I'd suggest.
Yeah, no, not really, Ali. We did really well, obviously, through the League Cup, and we were really, really positive going into the league campaign. We did do okay against Montrose on opening day. We did everything bar score. And we didn't look like conceding. And then we obviously got a point that day, and then it just, everything that could go wrong went wrong against Airdrie. Players getting injured, defensive cock-ups led to obviously silly goals. And then we had a real bad injury with 10 minutes to go, and then they scored a couple of late goals. So we needed the 3 points on Saturday, but I think it wasn't just the 3 points. We needed a few goals. We needed a bit of confidence. And I think we've got that from Saturday. What we need to do now, though, is actually take that into a second game, because we've got history of playing great one game, playing awful the next. And I don't want to say that's obviously the mantra that we're going with, but I think we will go with a bit of confidence. But I think there is a wariness there as well, that it's an unknown team. Whenever you play an unknown team, and don't get me wrong, McGlynn, I'm sure, will have researched everything because he seems really methodical like that. I'm sure he's, but then Mabry and Mark Kerr will have done exactly the same for on Falkirk. So I'm looking forward to it, and not just for the day out in Edinburgh, but obviously looking forward to the game as well. So yeah.
Yeah. What do you think the score's going to be, Ali?
Do you know what? I'm going to go for an entertaining 2-2 draw.
Entertaining.
I think. Well, yeah, I think it will be a good. I think it will be a good game. I think we've got a couple of players that might surprise you. It's not. Let me say we have a link up with Hibs, which has been another slight bone of contention for some. But one of the players we've got on loan, playing central midfield, a guy Alan Delferrier. Wait till you see him. He's just unbelievable.
Right.
We'll need to keep an eye out for him.
Play centre mid. They've got another guy as well that might play right wing back, EJ Johnson, who's decent as well. But Delferrier is a player. I think it was his kind of first proper start on Saturday against Alloa, and I think they were like, who's this guy? What's going on here? He just ran all over them. He's just
he looks like he's got
everything. And from what I've heard from players in the club, they just kind of burst out laughing at training because he just does things that you're not meant to be able to. That they're not meant to be able to do. So it'll be interesting to see if he keeps that going on loan from Hibs, and I think he's pretty highly regarded there as well. So a bit of an education in Scottish football coming down to League One.
Just at least he's right just round the corner. Well, I'm worried. You've worried me with that now. You've worried with that now, Ali. So fingers crossed he's up for on Saturday. But listen, thank you so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. It's been really interesting to get an insight into Edinburgh because I think from the outside looking in, everyone's going, what's going on over there? So it's great to get your input into that, mate. Yeah. Brilliant. Listen, all the best on Saturday. Enjoy the game and we'll see you there.
Cheers, Ali.
Cheers, boys. Cheers. Thank you.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So that's it for this week's Falkirk Daft as we looked back at Peterhead and ahead against Edinburgh. I thought Ali was really interesting. I'm enraged on Edinburgh supporters' behalf because that is the way they've been treated as supporters is ridiculous.
That's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And do you know, like, not by no means a mirror image of anything that's happened to us over the years. We've obviously never had to do that, but even small things like changing the badge without consult. Like, I remember the late 90s, we weren't consulted as a fan base as to the change of our badge. And some people will say, oh, it's not a huge change, but actually, you're taking away the football club element of the badge, and you're also taking away the big thing, which is when you were formed. Two huge things as a football fan is that tradition and that the previous sort of history that goes along with it. So listen, I completely get where he's coming from. Hopefully they get some changes that they need back, but it sounds like it's a tough road.
He's really got me worried about this boy in midfield for Saturday as well. So we're going to have to keep an eye on him for Saturday.
What's his name again? Defer or something, is it?
Defer, yeah. Paul Dittes, so we'll look out for him on Saturday. We'll be going to the game, Ross. Good, like we were saying, it's looking forward to the day out more than anything. The trains are an absolute nightmare. The last train back to Falkirk's 6:30.
It's not ideal, but we'll make the most of the time that we've got in Edinburgh. We'll just need to leave at 6:30 a.m. to make sure we're getting the
most. Yeah, well, good luck getting that pass. We'll be drinking in the Artisan. If you fancy coming along for a pint, we'll be in there before the match getting a couple of beers in. I'm actually going to a gig that night as well, so it's a Leo Sayre for me, Ross, on it for whatever time to the gig at night, so that should be a good one. We'll see if I make it. Predictions for the score?
Do you know what? I think Robbie Murch is going to have an absolute...
Oh, yes, isn't he? Robbie's going to have an absolute blinder. And he's going to run over when he's saved a penalty, or he's going to run up to you. I told you, he's going to command his box like an absolute demon. He's going to run up to you then and just give it to you.
I think he'll keep it tight. I think we'll score, though. I do think we'll score. I don't think we'll score as many as we did on Saturday. Do you know what? I would take a 1-0 win now.
I'll take a cheeky 1-0 big Johnny Joy getting his first goal for the club. That's what I'm going to go for. Right, listen, thank you very much for listening or watching Falkirk Daft. We'll be here every week, as you know. Please rate, review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I put up a wee fake review to get us going, Ross. So,
Please do a
funny review of the podcast on Apple, and we'll read it out next week. Because I just stuck one up there just now. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Falkirk Daft. Subscribe on YouTube as well. We'd love to have you on board, and you can see our beautiful faces. I am wearing the yellow Central Demolition TFG top today.
The classic from 1991.
I love that top, the old Hummel white top, absolute belter. If you want to jump on our Discord as well, you get all the links either on the YouTube description or in the podcast description. Jump on the Discord, we're on there, we're chatting away about the games and stuff like that constantly, and whatever's happening in Falkirk. And if you want to sponsor us, we'd love to have you on board. The Gulnar and the Sanam should definitely pay us money for doing that, or at least send us free curries and pakora. That would be great. Stay away from the Gulnar. Get us falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com if you want to be involved in the show. That's it. On to Edinburgh now, Ross. And until next time,
expect unexpected.
This is Falkirk Daft.